Hi, everyone. This is Judy with the On Track Podcast. Thanks for joining us again. From everyone at All Team to you, we hope you're staying healthy and safe during this global pandemic, and our thoughts and prayers are with you, and thanks for tuning in, and we hope to continue to bring you good content so you could continue to work well. So, you know, in regards to COVID-19 and all of us working from home, as I obviously am today, and my guest, Dugan Karnazes, I thought it'd be interesting to shine a light on something that Dugan has made me aware of. Dugan is the founder and CEO of Velocity Research. He's a longtime Altium Pro and design engineer. And recently, Dugan roped us into his adventure, which is having a front row seat to what I'm sure many of you have heard about, which is the open source ventilator program. I've been very inspired by it, as many of us have at Altium.
Welcome to Altium's On Track Podcast, where we talk to leaders about PCB design, tackling subjects ranging from schematic capture all the way to the manufacturing floor. I'm your host, Judy Warner. Please listen in every week and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all your favorite podcast apps. And be sure to check out the show notes at altium.com/podcast, where you can find great resources and multiple ways to connect with us on social media.
So, Dugan, welcome to the On Track Podcast. We're delighted to have you and enjoy this conversation.
Yeah. Thank you for the invitation to come on. And happy to be here.
Well, Dugan, why don't you start out by giving our listeners a little sense of your background in design engineering, and then tell us a little bit about Velocity Research.
Yeah, sure. So my background is in physics and electrical engineering. From there, I went on and worked in R&D for a large company for about 5 years, and ultimately decided that I wanted to branch out and start my own business. So what we do is we do electrical engineering, but we also have in-house embedded firmware engineers and mechanical engineers too. So what we really specialize in is being a small team with a broad skill set, and we help our clients design and improve their products or build whatever they need. It's a business of understanding what they're looking for and then just diving right in with a small multidisciplinary team and really trying to focus on results. So been using Altium for about 4 years now. And for this project, should we just go right into that?
Well, let me tee you up here for a second. So Dugan reached out to us. We've gotten to know him at Altium Live. And so Dugan reached out to us in regards to his involvement in open source ventilator. Just to kind of give context to the conversation, Dugan, why don't you tell us, for those that don't know, about the open source ventilator project, where it got started, and, you know, just an overall big picture of this project.
Yeah, so open source ventilator is unlike any project I've ever seen, and is hopefully unlike any other project I'll ever be on, given the circumstances or why it exists. But it started as a few people out of Ireland. They started trying to make a ventilator that could be 3D printed and just made low cost to address the shortage that's going on here. And I think all of us know some kind of group of people that started out small and started doing something really cool. And then what really changed is they made it available online. They opened up a Slack channel and then they asked for help. And in the 3 weeks it's existed, it's grown from 5 people to over 3,000 people and companies across the globe. And it's been a whirlwind of all these people who I suspect are working at home and looking for something to do and put their talents to use on something meaningful and helpful. And that's how the open source ventilator became this giant collective of people working on a design. And now it's a lot of designs, not even just for ventilators, but for other PPE and other medical needs. It's all these people all over the world trying to work on it together. So,
Yeah, I'm so impressed from the things you shared me, and I cannot wait to share what's happened in such a short period of time. And, you know, I think my goal for our listeners of sharing this with you, at Altium, we are your fans, I think, more than, you know, vice versa. And so I want to shine a light on the power of engineering, right, to bring to bear such amazing talents and so quickly. So, all right. So, Dugan, why don't you give us some framework of how you got involved? I think you had a mom with some health issues that sort of inspired you. So give us a framework of what inspired you personally to get involved.
Yeah. So it was a couple weeks ago now, but when COVID-19 was becoming more and more serious in the US, and I think all of us kind of underestimated it, we had heard about it in China, and well, anyway, that's behind us now. But when it started becoming really real in the US, it was right around the time my mom was starting chemotherapy. And we're at that point where it's like,
which of course compromises her immune system terribly.
Yeah. Yeah. And, originally she had asked me to go with her, and then we both had to decide that it wasn't a good idea for me to go. And that heartbreak is just,
yeah,
in my personality, I need to find something to put it into. And so I put out a post online saying, hey, my company is going to offer free design resources, 3D printing, electronic design, anything we can do to help try and address COVID-19. And I didn't know if that was ventilators or what that would be. Mm-hmm. I just knew that we had some really talented people and we wanted to help. So I put out that call, and then I started tagging all the local companies too. And I was like, hey, who wants to work together? Just cast a really wide net to try and find a team to start working on this and see who bid. And in the course of doing that, I stumbled on the OSV project and understood that ventilators were an area where we could really help and that there was a huge need for. So we dived right in. And that project's been an absolute whirlwind.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that Altium responded to that help request, because now we have a set of really powerful tools to work on the electronics.
Well, we're humbled and so glad to do it for you, Dugan. We thank you for being on the front lines. So I think you said that Ireland, they put out a call somewhere around March 15th, right? It's what, April 1st today. So
yeah, around that time. The days have flown quickly, but
I know. I bet they're blurred together for you at this point.
Yeah. They had just a Google form on their website for anyone willing to help. And then I helped them kind of shape that to more capture the skills people are looking for. And 3 days later, there were 800 different engineers who had filled out that form even. And so that's how we picked the team to work on the Altium project for putting together these electronics. It's choosing through that list of 800 people. It was 800 at that time. I haven't even checked it now. It's probably more.
I saw that spreadsheet and it's crazy.
Yeah.
So through that process, how did you sort of end up to be this sort of global connector of, you know, the electronics team, specifically stateside?
Yeah. So when I jumped in on the Slack channel, I noticed that it was tons and tons of individuals with different skill sets all offering help. But like, imagine any other project where it's you and three other people working on it in a room, and now 200 people a day are walking in the room trying to help you, and then it's 300 people a day. It's like, how do you organize all of that? And so what I realized, I thought it was just going to be like me designing a board to try and help with this project.
Right.
But I quickly realized there are hundreds of people who are designing boards trying to help with this project. So where I could be more helpful is trying to organize those groups and then also tap the corporate contacts that I had to see if we could help move those groups along and try and help out there. So
before we move on, tell the listeners a little bit about, again, this is not a plug. I just want the listeners to have a sense of how they're using the Altium tools to kind of get this, the feed underneath these electronic designers, you know, how they're using it.
Yep. So we were using Concord running on 365 since about June, just for our internal stuff on like a one user basis. Mm-hmm. And what wound up happening is once we had the list of all these volunteers, they're of course all over the world. We narrowed it down to the ones who knew Altium, which turns out was a pretty good skill set. And then what 365 allowed us to do is create a project, add everyone on it, make it viewable in the web browser so that the core team, even though they weren't familiar with Altium, they could still get in and see the design and see where we were going and comment on things. But also the development team, regardless of where they were all working off the same design, version control, and the licenses were all managed and everything got figured out. And we went from having a need to having a distributed solution up and running with people on it, making progress on the design within 24 hours. It's absolutely incredible.
It's incredible. And just hats off to you. I mean, yay for us making a tool. Like, who knew, you know, that, you know, it'd be a life-saving solution, possibly, you know, when our developers came up with it. But I just love that this kind of collaboration is available. So kudos to you. Absolutely. Dugan, where we got involved, besides just issuing licenses, you looped us on a call with some of your local contacts. And so, you know, I'm going to let you tell the story. I loved that call so much. So, you know, tell them a little bit about how that call went.
So you're referring to the one with Chris Denny and
yes.
And we're, yeah.
Yeah.
So, once we got that set up, and I think it was actually, you and Sarah, I had asked you guys for help on just finding local companies and anyone who could help make this actually happen.
Yeah. I think Ben Jordan actually referred us to Circuit Hub and Worthington.
Sure. Yeah. It's easy to lose track of how it all happened.
I know. I'll help you. We'll do it together.
Yeah.
So, so Ben Jordan, I think, gave you Worthington and Circuit Hub because those were folks that I had met to that call. And then DigiKey was on the call and you were on the call.
Yeah. And what we realized is we had a team of designers. We had an assembler and we had DigiKey for components. Mm-hmm. We're like, all right, this is the dream team. What can we do quickly? And, at that point, we kind of went over the spec on what the design was doing, and it's just a stepper motor controller with some extra smarts and a UI on it. And Chris Bard from DigiKey was like, oh, well, we have something like that. We're working on an internal project here. And I was like, is it an Altium? He's like, oh, yeah, no, we use Altium all the time. I was like, can you share the design? He's like, yeah, no problem.
So then he pulled it up on the screen, you guys, on the call. What he said is, so I don't think we mentioned this open source design. The Ireland team had found that there was already a design for an open source ventilator at University of Florida. So Chris from DigiKey was able to look at the schematic and go, huh, 3/4 of these devices and this setup I have on a board for cutting wires. And he pulled it up. He goes, yeah, we just need to take off this 1/4, add these handful of components and we're good. And my jaw dropped, right? Because again, the collaboration was lovely. On the phone here, we have, you know, Altium, DigiKey, Worthington, who's an EMS company, Circuit Hub. Like, you're right, like this little team, but together, you know, it's like, okay, we can get this done. And boy, but when he brought up that design, I was like,
yeah,
dying. That was wild.
Yeah, so that design is kind of what put us on the map with the thousands of people that are already in OSV. But I was able to send Trevor Small, who had been coordinating the mechanical design team and is running the repository where all the designs are, I just sent him a message. And I was like, hey, we have a design ready to go that's really close to these needs. Like, you need models? And he's like, oh my God, what did you say? bless your cotton socks. And I was really excited that we were able to get him something to start working off of. So, and then, yeah, that design we imported into the cloud environment and served as a starting point for all the global initiatives. So, like, it's rolling now, and just the pace of it is, this project is measured in hours, not weeks. And it's absolutely insane.
Okay. So let's, yeah. So that call, I'll never forget it. That was stunning. Now, somewhere around the 19th, I believe you said, you got connected to a local designer. So you pivoted, you kind of handed off, you know, and that design to sort of become the base of what's being developed on the electronic side. You sort of handed off the electronics at that point.
Yep.
And start pivoting towards physical design of the ventilator. Yeah. And then you said something about meeting a designer in Michigan. So you sort of pivoted to now some local needs. So why don't you talk about the shortage in Detroit and then how you got connected to the designer in Michigan?
Yeah. So again, once the electronics team was rolling, I kind of needed to shift away from just participating in this in a digital sense and understanding what can we physically do here, because solution online is great, but it doesn't mean anything until it's in the real world. So on my own, like Facebook, I put out a request to like help with this project. I've been talking about like involvement and encouraging people to join if they felt that something could help on. And right now they're still not doing any fundraising yet. So we haven't asked for fundraising. This is all an entirely volunteer basis, even on the supply and equipment side. But what wound up happening is we had this design rolling, and there are a couple industrial designers and mechanical engineers and other people here too that were looking for ways to help and started contacting me. And they're like, what can we do for you? It's like, well, we have this design. Can we make it happen? And I sent them the files, and there was still concepts and everything. Like, it was on the models where it worked on the computer, but you can't actually manufacture it. So I asked them to help get it to a point where it could be built and we could get it tested and we could get some feedback on it. And 24 hours later, all the little issues and glitches were fixed, and it was printed and machined and out, and like I was holding it. And at that same time, one of my contacts at Spectrum Health Innovations, who looks for like these kinds of projects in medical devices, usually when there's more time to develop them. Yeah. We had met a few months prior to this, and I just asked him, I was like, hey, we're working on this design. Do you wanna like get involved with this? Is this a need you guys have? And very, very quickly, he set up a team of pulmonary specialists and respiratory therapists and all the people who know this kind of thing inside and out. And I don't have a medical device background, and yeah, I don't have a ventilator background, but if there was ever a time to learn it, there's all the resources now being made available, and Analog Devices sent us over a whole presentation prepared with exactly the sensors that you need and the workflows and how to do it. So yeah, we got the physical prototype built and in front of doctors, and we got some feedback on it, and we shared that feedback back with the rest of the group. But that was also like another turning point for us, is the team in West Michigan was able to go from design files to built prototype in less than 24 hours. And then I shared that back to the OSV team, and it got a lot of really positive feedback too. And then I think that's when people realized, like, all right, this West Michigan group, they can really get stuff done on the electronic side. I'm physically building it, I'm getting feedback from the doctors, and now we're rolling. And at that moment, we were the leading design. I don't know if we still are. I kind of have tunnel vision on. I'm trying to just make focus here.
Yeah. So tell us about, so when you met with Spectrum Health and you got to have that real world feedback, you know, what were some things that came up that you had no insight into, and sort of how was their view sort of the truly the front lines with healthcare workers and so forth, as well as reliability and so many other things?
Yeah. So that particular group had been getting introduced to a few other like 3D printed and like homegrown medical supplies. But I guess not all of them are that viable, and some of them can kind of be very well intentioned but not actually usable. This project, they said, was the first one they'd seen that actually looked viable and that they could see like really using in a hospital setting, which is very, very good encouragement. They also gave a few of just like the normal like user group kind of things that you get. Like, we want to have straight tubes here. It'd be great if the UI was this. Let's switch away from having a knob and go to buttons, because knobs are easy to move and not realize you moved them, and like that kind of feedback. Mm. But through the whole thing, I think that one of the things that kind of frightened myself, and also I could see a little bit of fear in them too, is just them realizing that we were in a situation where 3D printed ventilators were going to be a serious contender, like in the hospitals here in our own community.
Yeah. So tell us about that. At that point, what was the outlook in Michigan, particularly Detroit area?
Yeah. So Detroit's a little bit ahead of us, in a bad way. We're just 2 hours away from there in Grand Rapids, but we're the other large city in Michigan. And at that point, the prediction was that we were 5 to 10 days away from hitting capacity on ventilators, and that doctors here in our own community were going to have to start facing those decisions like what we see on the news, where you have multiple people who all need a ventilator, but you have to choose who gets one and who doesn't. And we were hearing about the training that their doctors were going through on having to on how to mentally cope with making those kinds of life and death decisions, truly. And Maria, the person I was talking to, you could just see the tears that she was holding back, knowing that she was going to have to make those kinds of decisions. And having an option like this, while it's not a commercial ventilator, is still better than nothing, and could definitely help, because it's better than nothing. So she gave us a lot of really good feedback on how to make it usable, what to do, the things we had to measure, the things that we thought we had to measure that we actually don't, based on the AmbuBag method that we're going for. We took that feedback, shared it with the rest of the global group, and move forward. And now Ford is on board as well with making their own design, but also helping with ours. And they've committed to making 50,000 ventilators. Our latest design is, it shares a lot of commonalities with theirs. Theirs is geared more towards their automotive supply chain, because that's where they can be more effective. So some paddles that are used to compress the bag, and they're like, well, we can use brake pedals for that. Like, of course you can use brake pedals. That's perfect. And they found like a transmission shifting motor that had the right torque and the right size for actuating this. It's like, yeah, we can get hundreds of thousands of those, because they already have the supply chain for it. So of course Ford is going to try and leverage their strengths to make a good solution here. But now we're talking every other day with them, and they were fantastic in contacting me and letting me know the resources they had, and opening up their test facilities and trying to collaborate in any ways that they could. And Gentex and Spectrum Health and all and Hybrid Machine and making all this stuff. There's so many people and so many companies that want to help, and just being part of this project and watching it grow as fast as it had in a meaningful direction, it's been life changing for me.
I Dugan, it's stunning to listen to your story, because I'm sure you just, you know, from seeing those spreadsheets with thousands of people, you probably felt like a drop in the ocean at that point. But that this has become so relevant is, again, we're just proud to know you and support you, buddy. What did this do to your business? What does this do to Velocity? How many hours were you working on this?
Yeah. So again, at the beginning, I started doing this just like, in the evening and like the one weekend. But now it's so compelling. I can't focus on anything else. And, that doesn't mean I can only focus on this. So I've kind of like asked the rest of the Velocity team to step up and take on some new responsibilities with our other projects too, to make sure our clients are happy and their projects are moving along too. Cause we're all trying to navigate the changes that are coming with this. And if we had the runway to just shut down everything and focus solely on this, I absolutely would. But we also have to keep our employees on payroll and keep that running too.
So
it's been pretty all consuming for me. And our team has done a great job balancing everything out, so we can focus on this and we can move it along. Because this is really important work. But the other thing that we're kind of wondering about is we have the projects that we're on now, but what do new sales look like in this kind of environment? And I don't have a good answer for that, but what we know is that we're good with rolling with the punches, and we'll figure out a way to keep the lights on and keep our team paid. So as far as how like Velocity Business is doing, it's adapting. We're adapting. It's challenging for everyone. We're okay right now.
Yeah. Well, you're still a relatively young company, and so.
Yeah. We're only 8 months old. So.
Gosh.
We're still very much first year startup life.
Oh wow. Well, again, you know, one thing that impressed me when we did this prep call, as you said, when you first started this project, and we're talking 2 to 3 weeks, you said you thought you were developing a ventilator for maybe a third world country, and now you're participating with Ford in Detroit, yeah, right in your own backyard.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Like, who would have imagined that would happen? And the other thing that I heard you say was that really, everyone's been volunteering and stepping up and bringing their piece of the puzzle, and that really all resources have been, up to this point, unlimited, except for one thing, which is time. Yeah. However, the speed at which you've done it is really impressive. So as far as the enclosure goes, and you mentioned there was 3D printed parts, and then you also mentioned something about plastics. Can you tell us a little bit? Oh, and by the way, for our listeners, Dugan has some images out of Creo and SolidWorks where you can see in its current iteration. And so you can get a sense, and he promises me probably by the time this podcast goes live that he'll have some physical pictures for us. So I'll be sure to share that in the show notes. So make sure you take a look.
Yeah.
So tell us about how you've produced this so quickly and some of the specifics.
Well, I have images here. Can I share them through the screen? Or
you can share them. The ones that are listening can't see it, but the ones that watch video can see it. So, yeah, if you can share that, that'd be awesome. And then for those that are listening, we'll throw it in the show notes.
Yeah, let me just pull that right up here. So, yeah, this was one of the move that over. This was an evolution of the design that we actually built, but the idea is that there's just the ambi bag that's normally hand operated, but we wanted a way to just actuate that, because the air circuitry for all that and the masks, they already exist. So let's focus on just making something that'll automate a previously manual process. And the governor of New York was actually talking about bringing in the National Guard to go through and manually actuate these with humans. This is a really good solution for that kind of problem.
Okay.
Then
I saw a photograph. Is there actual, is that a previous iteration?
Yeah. So this is the version that we built of that device in 24 hours. Major thanks to Jeff Robinson and Hybrid Machine for figuring out how to actually print that into the universe. But parts of it were 3D printed. Other parts of it were just sheet plastics that you can cut out very quickly on a router. And so the goal with this isn't to, there's enough manpower and resources on this project that we can have a bunch of different designs that are geared for different manufacturing processes, so that we create options for who has to make these, whether it's, I have a 3D printer, okay, use this design, or I have this basic machine shop, all right, well, this design is probably going to be easier. But this version had a mix of machine routed parts and 3D printed parts. But the next version is more geared to be just all 2D sheet parts, so that it can be cut out very, very quickly and assembled together. And then we also changed the mechanism to be a little bit more robust, and also is similar to the good results that the MIT team had as well. And that's the other thing I kind of want to comment on this.
Yeah, let's hear about your team.
Yeah, it's it's not just our ventilator versus another ventilator or another product, like is typical in product development. You're trying to beat out your competition. in this case, it's everyone's ventilators versus COVID. So the design sharing and the innovation and the number of like different concepts that are out there and being tested, everyone's working together. And it's not about coming up with a better ventilator than someone else. It's about all of us coming up with the right ventilator for what our hospitals and what our medical professionals are going to need, and then making that in a lot of different processes. So the more options we have available, the better. The team here, on the electronic side, Nadim Conti, who works at CERN, he's been stepping up as the technical lead. Katie Kagan from Amazon is on there too. Ari Lyles reached out. He's actually only an hour away from me, but we met through OSV, so it's a pretty small world. And then there are some other volunteers who have hopped on that team as well. We have Barry Hutzel and Jeff Robinson and Ross Miller and Eric, I'm blanking on his last name right now, but so many people locally are stepping up too to move the design along. And if I went through and talked about all the different people who've done amazing work on this, it's all we would do.
That's just amazing. It's such a great story of collaboration and the power of engineering when we come together. You know, and day to day we have to compete. We're a capitalist society and this is business, right? But I think whenever there's obviously never been a crisis to this scale, or at least not for a very long time. And I think the silver lining, I think, is that oftentimes, that when we all face something together, the amount of community and collaboration is just heartwarming to watch. And so I that's all I can hear through your story, Dugan, is collaboration, engineering together, using every available tool and resource. And it's, you know, in spite of the tragedy, you know, you're doing some just outstanding work. And I'm sure it's impacted me for, you know, and everyone at Altium that's heard your story, and I'm sure it will impact the listeners as well. So, I like what you say. It's your collective engineering versus COVID, right? And yeah. So I think that's the beautiful takeaway. So it's time for us to wrap up. Thank you, Dugan. A million thank yous to the work you're doing. Congratulations on the work you're doing. Thank you for your community spirit and bringing your time and talents to bear on this terrible time, particularly not only globally, but locally in your community there in Michigan. Will you do me a favor, Dugan, and share the OSV website and Velocity and any other places we can connect with you, and also your profile on LinkedIn? I encourage our listeners to connect with Dugan Karnazes on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Connect with me too, so we can continue to hear about your stories and shine a light on them. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Dugan.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for having me.
To our listeners, thanks so much for joining today. I hope this has inspired you as much as it's inspired us here at Altium. Make sure to check out the show notes to see more details about this global initiative. And we look forward to being with you next time in another home edition of the On Track podcast. Stay well, stay healthy. We'll see you next time. Until then, remember to always stay on track.